Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Personal growth is not the same thing as reinventing yourself. As we approach year's end and those inevitable discussions of resolutions and promises for next year, we've invited pioneering life coach and author Debbie Phillips back to the studio for a personal tune-up. In 2003, Debbie Phillips founded Women on Fire, an organization dedicated to helping women live extraordinary lives. She wrote Women on Fire, 20 inspiring women share their life secrets and save you years of struggle. She also is co-executive producer of the film Inspire Me and a columnist for abcnews.com. You can find a link to her blog at our website at wosu.org/allsides. Welcome back, Debbie.
Oh, it's so great to be here and home.
Yes, this is your home. Now, I often don't, your resume is very long, and I don't often get into
I'm
it.
Old.
But it's you were on the you were press secretary for former Governor Dick Celeste.
I was. I actually started out at the Citizen Journal.
Well, you're a journalist.
Yes.
That's right. You're a trained journalist. You graduated from Ohio State in journalism, and then you did that. And you also worked for John Glenn and his campaign for president.
I did. It was in 1983. Yes, I went to Iowa and trekked the snowy fields with Senator Glenn and his wife, Annie. It was really, really exciting.
So when you talk about the issue of reinvention, you don't want it to be you don't want it to be confused with moving on and growing and building on your assets.
Well, I actually just don't like the word reinvention because for me, the word reinvention means I have to stop what I'm doing and become something else. And it feels kind of like maybe something else that I'm not. And so I love the idea of I'm always moving into more and more of who I am. And there is a fabulous career counselor in Columbus. I'm sure many people know her. Her name is Marilyn Musgrove. And I learned this amazing term from her. It's called stomping your perimeter. So every job, every experience you have, you just build one thing after another. You stomp your perimeter. So in my instance, I was a newspaper reporter. I worked in government and politics. And I loved all of that. And at the same time, I felt like there was something else I was meant to do. And I know for many women in my life and Women on Fire, they know they're up to something really big. They just don't know what that is yet. The idea is with stomping your perimeter, you can bring that all together at some point in your life and do something really big.
Were you ever the type that said in 5 years, you know, the 5-year plan, the 10-year plan, did you do that? Do you still?
I did. What's interesting, I actually did that up until I became Governor Celeste's press secretary, and then I had a big crash because I'd planned it, and then I was like, now what? And I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. I had lots and lots of ideas, and I really had kind of a crisis of sorts trying to figure out what will I do next. And I stomped my perimeter. I combined everything I did. I created for myself what I had needed, which was kind of this big sister strategist, somebody who cared. I'd started doing that for other people, and months later, found out it was called coaching, which was a totally new profession. And it was so funny. Driving to the studio here this morning, I could not believe this. I actually became a coach 15 years ago today in Columbus, Ohio.
Yep. You're a pioneer. You were a pioneer in the field.
Well, at the time that I became a coach, Thomas Leonard had popularized coaching in 1996. I became a coach in 1995. He was a financial expert who said there is a huge profession out there for somebody to coach people. And so he began an online training school probably in the mid-90s. And at that point, there were very, very few coaches trained in the world. I mean, there's hundreds of thousands now, but back then there were nobody ever heard of it.
My guest is Debbie Phillips, author of Women on Fire and founder of the Women on Fire organization. If you have a question or comment for Debbie, give us a call, 614-292-8513. You can email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can also go to the All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page, and I've got a link to Debbie on that as well if you want to chat or if you have a question. The coach thing, though, what's the distinction? Some people still maybe don't know the difference between that and, well, why don't I just get a really good therapist?
Right. Well, there's a thank you. That's a great question. It is a very important distinction. If you are struggling with patterns in your life that get in your way, that really requires some healing. And so therapists in general look at your past history and help you heal from the past. Coaches take you where you are now and move you and help you move forward. So it might have to do with skill building. I mean, in my coaching practice, it always had to do with inspiration, strategies, and support, just helping phenomenal people move forward by helping them with strategies. Sometimes they were in therapy because they needed to heal from a past wound or an addiction, and you can do both. You can be in therapy and coaching at the same time.
You wrote Women on Fire. Was that a couple years ago now?
A year and a half ago. It came out in May of 2009.
No. You've met hundreds, if not thousands, more people since then. And tell me about the impact of the book now. You edited the book and you contributed to it. It's the story of a lot of different people's personal stories, women.
Right. When I was predominantly coaching women one-on-one, I would see them struggling. I would see women struggling to find their passion. I would see them struggling from grief, just all kinds of things that were getting a divorce. And there were so many common things. And when we're going through a crisis, it always feels like we're alone, or usually it feels like we're alone. And so I was coaching women who would use strategies and come through it to success, and I really wanted to share that. So the 20 women in the book all had bumped up against a crisis in a woman's life, or potential crisis, and worked it through. And I thought it was really inspiring. And since the book has come out, I cannot tell you. And when you asked me the question, I got goosebumps, because women write me all of the time. And I just was in New York where we hold our Women on Fire tea parties. And a woman there had read a story in the book, because there was a woman who was very successful. She was 50 years old, but she felt ashamed she'd never graduated from college. So at age 50, she went back to college. Not only did she go to college, she went to Harvard, and 6 years later, she graduated with honors from Harvard. Before she went to college, she was just sure she couldn't do it. And she had the most amazing, glorious time. And this woman came to the tea party in New York. She was inspired by that story, and she has gone back to college. So almost every day I'm teary because I get a letter or an email from somebody who says, thank you, because, you know, I read about Regina Weikert's eating disorder, and thank you. I know that I can get through it.
The tea parties.
Yes.
Remind us, you know, how you were inspired to begin them. And I also wondered, I guess a question I asked was myself this morning was, I wonder how you keep them fresh, but I would imagine it's the people.
It's the people. In fact, we have we laugh. Jeanette Barber, who is a comedian and one of the women who often comes to the New York tea parties, has a phrase, the tea parties always work. And the reason they always work is it's a familiar format, but the players are always different. And it's a wide age range. So in the beginning, I started with really 30s, 40s, 50-year-old women. It was Judy Blume, the author, who took me by the shoulders and said, Debbie, I'm 69 years old. She's now in her 70s.
I can't even believe that.
Oh, I know. She's a little tiny woman. It was just a magical moment. And she said, you need to do this for every young woman, every middle-aged woman, and women like me. I'm 69 years old. We all need to be able to come together and share what we're on fire about or not, and cheer each other on. And so from that point on, they're very intergenerational. And it's so inspiring to hear what I just came from New York, where we had five 17-year-olds at the tea party, and probably the oldest person. There were a couple of grandmothers there, and
it was a mother-daughter, right?
It was the mother-daughter tea party.
Was that your first one?
It was the first one. I was testing it there, and then we're going to do it in Columbus in May.
So how did that go? What was the dynamic there?
The dynamic was amazing, because the older women were blown away by what the younger women said they were on fire about and what they were struggling with and thinking about, and the younger women were mesmerized by one of the grandmothers was a single mother of five children, and she had gone to India like six times to study in an ashram. And so one of the younger girls said, I have no excuse now for saying I can't do anything. You can do anything you want if you just put your mind to it.
You know, I had a mother in a couple of weeks ago talking about, she's a guide or admissions, dean of admissions at Denison.
Yes.
I mean, she was talking about this book that she edited. It's a collection of essays by parents about the whole getting their kid into college thing and how what their goals and purposes are often at odds with, or at least not even anywhere in sync with, what their kids are and what they're thinking. And her essay was about what she was thinking when her daughter was applying to college, and how her daughter read her essay and then came back and wrote a response essay, which was hysterical about, no, here's what I really was thinking, not what you thought I was thinking. And I was wondering if there was much of that going on.
There was totally a bunch of that going on. And what was really striking about the 17-year-olds, most of them were not, they were such global citizens. Most of them were, I'm thinking about college, it's kind of pressure, but you know what, I'm going to get in, or I'm going to take a gap year. And they were all much more interested in service and how I'm going to spend time, you know, doing other things. I'll do the college thing. And of course, their mothers were looking at them like, really? You got to get that essay written.
Actually, I've been corrected. It was at Kenyon College, not Denison. But
oh, great.
Be that as it may, it was a lot of fun. It was a great insight into the differences. And it's not as if anyone's ever down on each other. It's just they don't necessarily hear each other the same way.
Yeah, and just understand it's a different generation and where it's coming from. And at Women on Fire Tea Parties, people are very respectful. You know, everybody can say what they're on fire about, and no one is allowed to say challenge that. Because where in the world can we go and say what's really on our heart and in our mind and just be celebrated for it? There's no right or wrong. It's if that's what that person's on fire about, and you can imagine the things people have been on fire about. I mean, all kinds of.
You must love the TEDx lectures.
Yeah.
TEDx Columbus, of course, they had the second one here a few months ago.
I'm going tomorrow. I'm so excited.
Oh, the women's, that's right.
The women's one is tomorrow, TEDx, and I was able to take Columbus. A couple of hours. I'm going to go see Patty Wynn Brown perform, and I hear I might get to see Jenny of Jenny's Ice Cream, who's like my role model, and I've never met her.
Well, sometimes she follows the show, so maybe she'll hear about that. 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org if you'd like to speak with my guest, Debbie Phillips, author of Women on Fire. We'll be right back. This is All Sides on WOSU 820 NPR News.
This is WOSU 820 NPR News. Thanks for joining us for All Sides with Ann Fisher today. Go behind the scenes of WOSU with our e-newsletters. Find out what our classical music hosts are listening to. Get the latest news from NPR and the WOSU newsroom. Learn about volunteer opportunities and more. Visit WOSU.org/email and sign up for our e-newsletters.
Support for WOSU comes from the Physicians Free Clinic and Voluntary Care Network, providing charity medical care for Central Ohio's uninsured patients. More about joining the Columbus Medical Association Foundation and supporting the clinic is at goodhealthcolumbus.org.
21 degrees in downtown Columbus at 11:19 this morning. Snow flurries today, cloudy skies, and a cold day, a high of 23. Cloudy tonight and a low of 15 degrees, mostly cloudy tomorrow at a high of 24. All Sides continues on WOSU 820.
Welcome back to All Sides. My guest is Debbie Phillips. She's author of Women on Fire, 20 Inspiring Women Share Their Life Secrets and Save You Years of Struggle. She has, in 2003, founded Women on Fire, the organization, and she hosts the tea parties we were just talking about earlier. If you have a question or comment for Deb, we're going to move on to how to get the new year off to a great start. If you have an idea for us, we welcome them, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org, as did Jan. So glad that you are on the show today and getting me thinking about moving forward in 2011. You've said that, quote, isolation is a dream killer, end quote, and I hope you will elaborate on the various ways that you see Women on Fire helping with the isolation that it can occur for women working from home offices. Also, would love to see your group have an office suite or daily, weekly meeting place locally to foster inspiration, strategy, and supports. Enjoy your time in Columbus. Sorry to miss the tea party.
Oh, I love that. Hey, Jan. I love that. That's really the crux of the whole idea around Women on Fire. It was designed for busy women, and moms are so busy, and professional people are so busy, if you're a mom at home, if you're a worker at home. And the idea around meeting, I encourage every woman I know, find a group that feels right. You can create it yourself with people that you just want to be with. It can be two or three people. Columbus is wonderful. It's one of the reasons that I started the Women on Fire coaching group here that's led by Andrea Dowding. And there'll be another one starting in February with Andrea Dowding and Jerry Browning, who are two highly trained coaches. I highly recommend. I hand chose them because they are so phenomenal. And so a Women on Fire coaching group is a place for support. I think to Jan's point about test it. Ask your friends if they're involved in a group. Sometimes they can be church groups that come together to support you in whatever endeavor it is. I know I get, because we did start the Women on Fire movement really in Columbus, and it has really blossomed here with the tea parties and the coaching groups, I hear about other phenomenal groups here. I know that Mary B. Rolodo has a group called Dames Bond, which
Dames
is
Bond.
So cute.
Right. She's on Facebook, yeah.
She's on Facebook, and she's written to me, and I know that women are involved in that, and they're just, tickled. There's the Transition Network, Anne, that you've
right.
had women on for women going through a transition. There's Ladies Who Launch. The woman, Victoria Colligan, actually started that national movement. She's from Cleveland, and it's more of an entrepreneurial group, and I do believe there's one or two groups here in Columbus. I just urge I urge women in particular when you're isolated.
It makes me think about how people forever have started groups. There's all kinds of much more venerable groups out there, all started for basically the same reason, to support each other.
Exactly.
The Zantas, could go on and on.
Oh
and
my
on.
Gosh.
I mean, I suppose literary clubs back at the turn of the century, or the last century or this century for that matter, are another way to do it. You just find it where you find it.
You find it when you find it, and find it so that it works for you. And don't be shy. If it's not the right thing for you, move on. I was talking to somebody yesterday going through a transition, and he was saying that he'd gone to a church, and he's like, well, I guess I'll stay there. But that isn't really – I said, no. Find the right church and support group that feels right to you.
614-292-8513 if you'd like to join the conversation with Debbie Phillips. We're talking about, well, all sorts of things,
yes.
I guess, as usual. Let's talk about, though, that new year. People do get really hung up on the fact that they didn't lose the extra weight,
yep.
or they didn't quit smoking, yep. or they didn't get the bathroom redecorated. They didn't, do whatever they had planned to do this year, and
yep.
they get down on themselves.
Yep, they do. And then that's just really disastrous, because then they don't do anything. And I see that over and over as a coach. So in our program of Women on Fire, we have a program called Great Start, and I just say forget New Year's resolutions, because it is things like that. I'm going to lose weight, and then by January 11th, we're forgetting about that. And so the five-part program of review is you want to review your year. So every great historian says, look in the rearview mirror, because there's a lot to tell. And I say we don't celebrate. We just let year after year collapse one into another without really taking a look at what did I do this year? What did I accomplish? What am I proud of? What am I disappointed in? What do I want to make sure that I do next year that's different? Or just any of those notions of what was my year? What was 2010 like? So at the end of the year, and I actually started this, Anne, when I lived in Columbus in a very simple way. So 20, 30 years ago, I would write down the four or five things. Now I write down 100 just because I want to incorporate everything that was major that struck me about my year. So I always encourage people to go through your calendar, write down everything. and then celebrate it. And that's the one thing people always say to me. They're like, oh my God, I really accomplished so much. I had no idea. The second thing is I always look at a happiness scale, and it starts out with surviving. Are you surviving? Are you satisfied with your life, or are you fulfilled with your life? And I look at it horizontally and move yourself along that scale to where are you right now and where do you want to be? So let's just say you're less than satisfied with your life. How can you move that scale to the satisfied column? Just move it ahead a little bit. What is it you need to do? And so then the third thing is, in order to do that, you need to set some goals. And as boring as that sounds, that's why New Year's resolutions don't work, because they're not based on setting a goal that actually works. And in order to have a goal work, you know what the number one thing is that has to be done with a goal? I bet you know, because you're so smart. Yes, you do.
You have to write it down, set
Very
it.
Very good. Oh. You have to write it down.
You have to say it. And, yeah.
Yes. And people can say it, but then if you don't write it down, what happens? You forget, or it slides. So it has to be written down. It has to be positive. So people who say, well, I don't want to be in that relationship anymore, they'll just get more of that. You have to be positive about your goal. So those are two things. Write your goals down. It's why weight loss doesn't work.
I was thinking about what's the difference between a New Year's resolution and a goal, but a resolution there's sort of this implication that it's a resolve to change. And a goal doesn't mean you have to change. You've just set a goal.
Exactly.
It doesn't mean you have to change yourself. Again, we're getting back to that reinvention issue. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So a bad goal is I want to lose weight. A good goal is this year I want to be my healthiest weight ever. I'm going to exercise 3 times a week. I'm going to change my eating plan. And here's how I'm going to get support. So that's the other aspect of goals. Find some support or accountability with someone. And fourth is you want to be able to invest time, money, and energy to do whatever it is you want to do. And that really comes to valuing yourself. And over the years, I've had so many. I had a woman once really struggle with giving herself coaching, which was, expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And all coaching does not have to be expensive. Please know that. But, she wanted a really high-level coach. And at the same time, she was struggling with the financial aspect. And I just pointed out how much, what other things do you spend $1,000 for? And she said, well, I spend $800 a month on makeup and beauty products. Well, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But she could give herself the outer, but she couldn't give her – she struggled to give herself the inner investment of, whatever you need, lessons, coaching, therapy, whatever it is inside you need to invest in to move yourself forward. So that's the fourth thing to really kick your year off big. And the final thing is the fun thing is create a theme for yourself for the year. And then when you go to make a decision – you can check against your theme. And so this is probably my 20th year of having a theme. Every year it changes. Last year was Women on Fire takes off. Women on Fire blazes brightly in a good way. No, Women on Fire. I'm sorry. Women on Fire catches fire in a good way because I didn't want it to catch fire. That was last year, and this year my goal was that I ask for help in situations where I normally wouldn't. So I had that in my mind all year long, and when I would get scared about asking for help, I would go, "Ooh, it's my theme. I better ask."
And did it work?
I have to tell you this because I review it. It was my hardest theme ever. It was the hardest theme in all of my years of doing themes. I had the year of simplicity, and I cleaned out all my clutter. I had the year of building a business and built it. But this was my hardest theme ever, asking for help.
And you must tell people to do that all the time.
Of course I do. We teach, you know, we teach what we struggle with.
Is beawomanonfire.com still your website?
Beawomanonfire.com and debbiephillips.com is also the blog. And that has all the Women on Fire stuff as well.
Because we have an email from Angela who asks, can you talk a little bit more about the Women on Fire groups you mentioned? And how can I find the contact information for these groups? And how do I get in touch? And thanks.
Oh, thank you so much, Angela. I will tell you, the person to get in touch with is Andrea Dowding, and her email is andreadowding1@columbus.rr.com. And please feel free to check in at the blog at debbiephillips.com, and you can post a comment there if you should be able to get in touch.
Is the Spark your blog?
The Spark, right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The Spark is the Women on Fire newsletter, and it's republished on the Debbie Phillips blog.
Okay. 614-292-8513 if you'd like to give us a call and speak with my guest, Debbie Phillips. And Mary, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. Mm-hmm. My question is, what advice could you give to women who are pursuing non-traditional goals? For example, independent careers, independent films or independent mm-hmm. publishing. We're kind of outside the box. Is there any information that you could give us?
Oh, well, Mary, thank you so much for calling. Do you have other friends who are in the independent filmmaking industry?
Well, I'm not in the independent filmmaking. I'm in the independent publishing, and I have lots of friends who are in that.
Is that helpful to have them as supporters? Do you meet with them or regularly collaborate with them?
On Facebook, I do, but mostly I'm so busy working, and the writing is the fun part, but the publicity and the promotion
sure.
and the marketing. And I just wondered if you had any advice that would kind of buck us up and encourage us to continue.
Oh, well, well, thank you. Well, first of all, I hope you will sign into the Spark, because it's the regular, it's a weekly inspiration and strategy memo to women just like you who are very busy and who need something online. But I'd also encourage you, and my guess is you may already know of some blogs that pertain to your industry. Do you, Mary?
I spend so much time just with the writing and
yes.
the book signings and the book fairs and the festivals and things like that, that I don't have that much time. So yeah. I'm not. But if you could name some, I have pen and pencil ready.
Well, you know what I'll do is, why don't you contact, you can contact me through debbiephillips.com, the blog. Please, why don't you drop me a note, and I'll find you a couple of blogs, because I know that I've read some. But I strongly encourage you, and I understand, and you may have heard me speak earlier, it's really important in your schedule and in your calendar. Even could you have a 2 or 3 hour meeting once a month with a group of supporters in your world?
Well, I have very severe health issues,
uh-huh.
and I can't go out in the winter when it's cold.
Sure.
I'm kind of locked in, and then I get to watch my twin grandsons 3 days a week,
yep.
which I love to do.
Sure.
So, but I do telephone conversations
yes.
and
wonderful.
Websites that I visit. So I do have that connection, and then at the book fairs, I get a lot of connecting there. But yes, you're absolutely right. We need some type of organized commitment that we can all go to and support and share and help.
Yep. And you can get that online too. So I'm really glad that you raised that. And I know you're going to find just the right thing. Do schedule it. It's your special time for you, and it will make a world of difference.
Thanks, Mary.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank
Bye.
You, Mary.
Bye-bye. 614-292-8513. If you'd like to give us a call, you can email us as well at allsides@wosu.org. You can also go to the All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page and connect with us there. Did you get through all 5 steps? I apologize.
I think I did.
Yeah, you got through all 5.
I think I did, yeah.
I you know, when I listen to you talk about things like that, it gets my mind starts turning, and it's almost distracting because you start to think, well, how would I plug my situation into that, yeah. and what might happen? In October, you attended the world's largest gathering of women, Maria Shriver's Women's Conference in Long Beach, California, and I followed your Twitters and I followed you on Facebook too. And then you blogged about it and had a nice collection of quotes and thoughts from that. Tell us about it. What happened? And she's been doing this for many years.
She has, and this was her last year. She's been doing it for 7 years, and now, of course, because her husband is no longer the governor of California, but one of the things that I heard her say numerous times, she's trying to figure out whether she independently starts to hold these conferences. It was truly phenomenal, and because it was her last year, she called in, you know, people such as Tony Robbins and Michelle Obama, and it was really it was so magical. And in fact, I started out one day with Michelle Obama, Jill Biden, Laura Bush, who I had never seen in person. She was truly amazing and dynamic. And the day ended with Oprah, all in one day. And it was so powerful, so magical, so inspiring. I cried, and so did all the women around me. I cried until I had such a headache because it was really inspiring. You know, it was women just saying it as it is. Maria is just a very authentic person. I don't know. Have you interviewed her? She'd be a great interview.
I've met her once briefly at a convention at the Republican National Convention, yep. probably in California one
yeah.
year,
yeah.
Well, San Diego.
She's just phenomenal, and this conference was just truly magical. It was also so powerful for me to realize that there are so many wonderful things that women are doing. Women are really, really coming on strong. And that's why for people like Mary who called, please know there is this groundswell of women doing the most creative, entrepreneurial, exciting things in the world. I mean, women are just doing phenomenal things in the world, and they're taking charge in a way. You know, there were the women from Liberia who literally were sick and tired of the violence and just said enough already. And they literally took over the country and changed things. And it is so exciting. And so to be a part of that is just, you know, was thrilling. One thing that Maria Shriver said that I just has really stayed with me is don't wait until you're perfect to change the world. That statement that she said a couple of times during her conference is so right, because we constantly do that. We're like, okay, well, if I get this or this together, then I can do that. And she's like, forget it already. Just go do it. And I think that's going to be my theme next year.
Just do it.
Just do it. You're not perfect.
I'm not perfect. That's we have to take another break. My guest is Debbie Phillips, author of Women on Fire and founder of Women on Fire. If you want to give us a call, 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org, and we would love to hear your questions or comments for her. We'll be right back. This is All Sides on WOSU 820 NPR News.
On the next Fresh Air, we look at five countries that ended their bans on gays and lesbians serving openly in the military: Britain, Canada, Israel, South Africa, and Australia. We talk with Nathaniel Frank, who wrote the study and is the author of a book about the impact of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, called Unfriendly Fire. Join us for the next Fresh Air.
Today at noon on WOSU 820, NPR News.
And thanks for joining us for All Sides with Ann Fisher today. WOSU Public Media presents the Columbus Metropolitan Club's Jingle Mingle. Tonight from 5:30 until 8:30, it's the Jingle Mingle and the Not-So-Silent Silent Auction at the Franklin Park Conservatory. Tickets and more information available at columbusmetroclub.org. And remember, you can discover more about All Sides with Ann Fisher online at wosu.org/allsides. Listen to the show whenever you want with the online archive. Podcast new and archive shows from all the guests and topics. Podcast All Sides at wosu.org/allsides. Snow flurries today, cloudy skies, a high of 23 degrees. Clouds tonight and chilly, a low of 15. Mostly cloudy for Wednesday and a high of 24. And partly sunny on Thursday and a high of 29. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues. This is WOSU 820 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides. My guest is Debbie Phillips, author of Women on Fire. We were just talking about Maria Shriver's annual women's conference in California. It was her last. If you have something you want to talk about, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. Let's talk about what people do that gets in the way of themselves. You have something, I think it was called Seven Mistakes Women Make. I suppose it's probably something women, men, you know, people of all stripes make.
Yeah. And it's just because I deal with women and have women on fire that I focus on women. So this certainly can apply to men, too. But it is particularly indicative of women. And so I just say, in order to get ahead, women really need to support each other. And I love, you know, Madeleine Albright at Maria's conference last year said, I think there is a special place in hell for women who don't support other women, to which the, you know, she brought down the house. I have long said it's so important for women to cheer on other women. And, you know, this is an area that men have done a really great job for a long time. And to be honest, in my early career, I had many, many male mentors. I mean, Bill Cassie was my city editor at the Citizen Journal, and I was completely nurtured and supported and uplifted and grew tremendously there. Obviously, Governor Celeste, you know, was a real force in himself, and I learned a tremendous amount there. I'm very, very grateful for the male mentors in my life. I saw how they connected and supported people. So I was very lucky. But I also then know from many, many women that they have not felt supported by other women. That is a very common complaint. So a mistake is not supporting other women. Another mistake is women who don't ask for help. And I talked a little bit about that because and what I love when I speak to women and I ask, is there anybody in here who has a really easy time asking for help? And I always love it because it doesn't matter if the audience is 30 or 300, there's only one. And she raises her hand and everybody else is in awe because it's just, you know, it's hard. It's hard for us to ask for help. You know, we're used to, we're the ones giving the help usually.
And we usually, if someone asks, we usually are glad.
Yes.
They've asked.
Yeah, we're glad they've asked. We have to be aware, though, of not to go, no, I'm fine. It's a problem, you know, when it's stop for a minute and think, wait a minute, is there something they really could help me with? It makes a huge difference. We do that.
What else?
The lack of awareness of our powerful self. And believe it or not, women minimize how powerful they really are, and people minimize often how powerful they are. And I always tell the story of one of the women on fire had a daughter who is 19, and she and her boyfriend came and said to her, said, we want to talk to you, her parents. And they said, we want to get married. And this woman, who's a woman on fire, I love this story because she said in that moment she wanted, of course, to scream and yell and say, are you out of your minds, you know, to get married. And she said, I know whatever I say to my daughter is going to be with her for the rest of her life. And she took a minute and said something, you know, really appropriate, like, okay, well, let's talk about what this would mean if you got married. And I just thought that was the greatest example of always be aware of your powerful impact. You know, the comment that you make, and it works both ways. It cuts both positive and negatively. When you tell somebody what a good job they're doing or uplift them in some way, you have no idea the difference that you can make. I just heard Oprah talk about how the first person who gave her a break, she said to him, he was being very encouraging, and she said, well, you know, I'm really overweight, and so I don't know if I can do this for TV talk show. And the guy himself said, well, I'm overweight too. And she said that helped her go, all right, you know. So being aware of your very powerful impact. You know, that guy could have said, well, yeah, why don't you try to shed 20 pounds? And that would have been hurtful. So being aware of your powerful impact is you know, can be very, very helpful. I'm also, here's a huge one that's both men and women, comparing yourself to others. That is just a huge mistake. The only thing you can compare yourself to is your own greatness? What is your own potential? And then compare yourself to what it is you're great with. Do not worry about anybody else around you. You will never, ever, ever, you can't ever. You're always going to find somebody doing better, being more good.
Well, furthermore, you don't really know what they're going through.
You do not. That's right. That's right. And you don't know that, period, anywhere with anybody. And if I do say, I think that's what has made Women on Fire so powerful. And that's one of the feedback I get. They're like, you know, if I saw that person walking down the street, I would have no idea that they're on fire about this or that. We forget everybody has a dream. And even people who say, well, I don't know what it is, it's in there. There's a spark in there. And allowing people to have their dreams is really just the greatest gift you can give somebody.
That is, when I look at the pictures of the people from your tea parties that you post them on Facebook and that kind of a thing, and I look at them and you kind of just let your mind's eye cross, you know, look, check out the faces and think, if I saw her walking down the street, it's not that it's not particularly like anyone's particularly ordinary looking. It's not the point. It's just, I know why these people are gathered there, and it changes your image. I have a lot of fun doing that because there's got to be a lot of other people out there just like that they even come together in the first place.
Yeah, it's a it really is. I look at the gatherings of Women on Fire. It's a microcosm of everybody, and so that's my big dream with it. That everywhere that there's a place that you can go, that you are celebrated for whatever it is that you're excited about in life. It can be, you know, we have people say, I'm going to become a grandmother, and I'm just over the moon about that. And, you know, they might be a high-powered businesswoman, and they can't really express that or feel they can't express that in the workplace. Or we'll have the opposite. You know, somebody will say, well, I got a big promotion. They want to just jump up and down. They're so excited. But, you know, that's not really accepted to do that at the office. You know, me, I just got a big promotion. You won't become very popular that way. But at Women on Fire or in a group that where you're safe, should be allowed to celebrate what's great.
Do people talk about fears?
Yes. And that's, and I always say at all of our gatherings, either the Women on Fire coaching groups or the tea parties, you know, sometimes we just throw that out as a question. What is it that you're fearful of? And there's also an amazing power when you say what you're fearful of, and you can do that in a safe environment and somebody will listen to you. It's amazing how that fear can dissipate. A lot of times it just dissipates on its own.
Why is that?
Well, it's actually called the theory of paradoxical change, in that it takes the power away. When we hold it, you know, we constrict when we are fearful. And so it's releasing it to be able to say, and it physically just allows it. Now, of course, not 100% of the time, but boy, I see it 80% of the time, being able to say, I'm really scared about X, Y, and Z will just make a huge difference. So that's why sometimes I've said to my coaching clients, you know, have a fear buddy that you can talk about, that you feel safe with, and you can say, you know what, I'm really scared. I was working with a woman yesterday who is the president of a company, and she said, you know, she was going to give a speech, and she referenced, you know, saying, you know, talking about being fearful about giving it. And she's, you know, she's very, very confident woman, but we're all scared. I mean, I say to people also, everybody you meet has loved something, has lost something, and is afraid of something. Everyone. So when you walk into a room and you think you're less than, or just remember that that's going on inside of everybody.
I guess it's sort of the equivalent of, remember, everybody puts on their pants one leg at a time, you know, that kind of a thing. But the love something, lost something,
afraid
of something is a little bit more humanizing, a little deeper than the old pants analogy.
But still true, the old pants thing. I get so many women saying to me, I'm going to put on my big girl panties.
Yeah, there is something about that, isn't there? 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. So did we get through all seven?
I did. Let me just see here.
You meld them together so beautifully.
Well, thank you so much. Well, I also think that it's really important to give appreciation and credit to your supporters. So the whole gratitude, and believe it or not, I see gratitude. Personally, for me, I use it to change my emotional state. When I'm in a funk about something, I literally now, I've been around so long and tried to practice many of the things that I've talked to my clients about, I will grab a piece of paper if I'm in a funk and I'll just say, all right, just write 10 things you are grateful for. I'm amazed. It is a very short way of being able to shift your emotional state, not 100% of the time, but again, a high percentage of the time, by writing what you're feeling grateful for. If you're overwhelmed, overwhelm is simply a condition. It's a feeling that comes over you because we all have it. There is never going to be enough time to get everything that we want to get done, done. And so the condition of overwhelm comes over us at that point. And when that happens to me, I stop and I write, what do I appreciate? And I find it most of the time it really works just to shift me into a place where, okay, it's going to be okay.
I sent out a bunch of emails yesterday to people thanking them for being on the show and with this little holiday card. And it was to everybody who's helped me with the show or helped, you know, who's been on the show in the past year. And it felt good to do it, and I was glad to do it. But then all of a sudden, of course, people start popping them back to me, which I didn't even expect, you know, responding. It's like, oh, wow, this is really fun.
Isn't it fun? I was going to say, how'd you feel?
Oh, it was great. I mean, it was really, really great. And then, again, they were just responding, saying, you know, all kinds of very positive things and stuff. And it wasn't a fishing expedition. I just really do appreciate everybody who's helped with the show over the past year. And, gosh, you know, it was just a little freebie I wasn't expecting. Tirza, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi.
I really wanted to comment on how wonderful I think this all is, considering, you know, oftentimes there's this stereotype of women when there's a large group of them. I'm in a nursing field, and, you know, there's this sort of stereotype of this henpecking and gossip and women bringing each other down. And I find that I'm gravitating towards wonderful, fantastic, supportive women, and I think acknowledging that and really honoring it, I just want to just give kudos. I think it's fantastic. So thank you.
Oh, Tirza, thank you so much. I really, really appreciate it. And good for you for attracting those like-hearted women around you. That is really wonderful.
It's great. I'm really thankful, and I'm thankful for what you're doing too. So thank you so much.
Oh, well, you just made my day.
Thanks, Tirza. Thanks for listening.
Plus, you know, okay. I think she raises something interesting, and too, is that this idea around the stereotype of women can be, you know, women, like I think of myself as nice and strong, and at the same time I'm soft, and that can be misinterpreted as not as being weak. And I just really want to encourage women to be who they are authentically, because we are, for the most part, all of us very strong, but we can be our kind, whatever our tendency is. If we're kind, gentle, feminine, we can be that and be strong and be respected.
We have a few more minutes. 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org if you'd like to speak to my guest, Debbie Phillips. She is author of Women on Fire. 20 inspiring women share their life secrets and save you years of struggle. Debbie, do you have another book coming out? Because you have must, if we have so many people you've met and other stories you want. Is there something else happening with that?
Yep. I just I met a wonderful agent at Maria Shriver's conference, and she is looking at this book. I had thought about potentially rewriting this book or making it the second of a series, and this agent is truly amazing, and I'm just waiting to hear back from her, which I should hear in the next week or so. She thought that I should probably move into a second book, let this one just stand on its own and move into a second, perhaps even different kind of book. So yes, so that's going to be on my big plate of goals this next year, is probably to write the second book.
Do you write all the time?
I do. I write all the time, and I bet you're in that same
some,
boat.
Somehow, some way, yes, all
and
the time.
And I'm grateful for, you know, I learned as a reporter to write quickly and write on deadlines. Mm-hmm. So I feel, it's funny, that stomping your perimeter idea, I feel like much of the time I feel like a reporter. So, I mean, you touched my heart so deeply when you said that you read the quotes from the Maria Shriver on Facebook and Twitter, because that was my goal there. I wanted to be a reporter for every woman in particular who couldn't be there. And by the way, I got tons of wonderful response from men too, and I was very grateful, but of course it was predominantly women.
Were we off the air when I told you about the one I loved about putting off Canceling. Let's refresh.
Well, Martha
for
Beck.
Our listeners.
I had never met Martha Beck, who, as many of you know, is a very well known coach, and she writes a column for Oprah, and she's very, and Oprah has her on regularly. And I met her for the first time, and she made the greatest quote. She said, "Do not put off until tomorrow what you can cancel today," which is a great way for all of us who struggle with saying no, just to remember that there's no reason you can't just cancel it.
Yes.
And now, oh, you know how that goes, Ann. You know long before you cancel it that you're going to cancel it, and then you just have that guilty, yucky, sticky feeling until you cancel
you're
it.
You're not going to make it, but you promised you would, and now you have to go through the whole process of being guilty about that.
Right.
Pat, you're on the air. Welcome to the show. Hi, Pat.
You were talking about career coaches, and I was wondering if you could advise us on how to find a good career coach.
Thank you, Pat. The best way to find a good career coach is to ask other people who they've used as a career coach. If you're in Columbus, Ohio, I would highly recommend you could also start with somebody who's a phenomenal career counselor. And I don't know that Mary Lynn Musgrove is still doing it full time, but she really held that space in Columbus for many, many years, and I'm sure she'd be able to help you find a good career coach. Certainly you can write me personally. I have a number of people in Columbus that I respect tremendously, and I'd be happy to make a recommendation.
When you're talking to somebody, it's mm-hmm. kind of like anything. You sort of interview them. You want to figure out if this is the person that's a fit for you. What kind of questions or what kind of things should you be looking for?
Well, what you should be looking for, that's really a terrific question. What you should look for is, first of all, you wanna feel that person can help. You wanna get very clear about, why are you hiring a coach? What do you want them to help you to do? And once you're clear about that, you want to interview people and ask them whether they've had experience. So let's say that you have a product that you want to launch and start a business. You want to ask them, have they ever done that? Have they ever helped other people launch a product? So you want to make sure that the coach can help you move to where you want to go. And then the other thing is really a fit. Is this somebody that you'd like to talk to every week? Is this somebody that you feel connected to? Sometimes it takes, you know, sometimes you might hire a coach and it takes two or three sessions. Do not ever hesitate if it doesn't feel right to end the coaching. And coaches have all kinds of different agreements. You know, sometimes people say, well, I'd like you to stay with me for 3 months and then we can reevaluate. Mm-hmm. But you should feel comfortable, and they should be able to move you through time and space.
I would imagine it's a relationship, though, that if it feels like it's not working, it doesn't mean you don't like them personally.
Right.
And again, you have another, but it could create another source of guilt. Like, well, I don't want to hurt their feelings.
Right, exactly. But that you're paying money for that, and a really professional coach, in fact, a really professional coach should have a check-in process to say, how are we doing? Do you feel you're supported? Do you feel you're meeting your goals? Like, a really good coach should be able to do that. And a really good coach may even say, I'm not the right coach. I mean, I have had instances where I discovered mm-hmm. I was not the right coach, and I moved people on to the right coach, because that's only fair and right, and it leaves room for me to coach the people that I'm expert at coaching.
That's all the time we have for my guest, Debbie Phillips, author of Women on Fire. Debbie, thanks for joining us today.
I love being here.
That's all the time we have. I want to thank all my people and show my gratitude for Linda Taylor, my producer, associate producer Amy Jurovich, student production assistant Jeff Steiner, radio intern Leticia Wiggins. That's all the time we have. This is listener supported WOSU and WOSU HD 820 Columbus, and streaming on the web at WOSU.org, WOSU 820 NPR News.